This morning we come again to one of the examples and characters of Scripture. And this morning it is Samuel, life of Samuel, the prophet. We will look this morning at several events in his life, two of which were early on, and then one at the end of his life. So we will begin in chapter 3. And we will begin here. And then we will, later on in the message, turn to chapter 8. Just so that you will be aware of where we're headed. Well, let's hear the word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And let us hear how God introduces us to Samuel. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord. Maybe 11, 12. He's in the temple. Ministering. He's been given back to the temple to serve God. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. And word from the Lord was rare in those days. Boy, listen to this. And word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. And it happened at that time as Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. That the Lord called Samuel and said, "Here I am." Then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli, that is he, Eli, he said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. I think this is a little bit humorous. I like it. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli answered, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time. And he arose and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Third time. It's really interesting, isn't it? And then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. Not the man. But that God was calling, the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening.'" What does the servant do? He listens. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And then the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel said, "Speak, for thy servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel in which both ears of everyone hears it will tingle. In that day I will carry out against Eli and all I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons forever brought a curse on themselves and he did not rebuke them. Therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." So Samuel lay down into mourning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. You see one of the jobs he had in the house. You almost see this little boy, 11, 12, run into the doorway of the temple and open the big old doors of the temple. That was his job. in the house of God. I like that. And so Samuel lay down until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. But Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "What is the word that he spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the words that he spoke to you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, and that is Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Thus Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and let none of his words fail. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Now, I read that whole chapter to you to just get the full flow of what's going on in the life of Samuel. Samuel certainly was a prophet of God in the land of Israel at a very needy time. At a very time in which Israel needed guidance and direction and support from the Lord God, it came through Samuel. But several things that I'd like to note about Samuel's life, especially as they reflect the things of Christ and point to Christ. And we have been looking at that as several lives in the Scriptures as they foreshadow and point to the coming of Christ. How does Samuel's life so reflect such coming of the Lord? Well, if you notice, going back into chapter 1, even the very birth of Samuel is quite unique, isn't it? Do you remember the story of Hannah? How Hannah comes to the temple to pray, and she has been without child. She is barren. She is not able to bear children. And this is one of the things that has vexed her heart and grieved her deeply. And so she comes to the temple and she's apparently so grieved about it and in prayer with such depth and burden that Eli, who is the priest there, happens to observe her and he thinks that she has been drinking because of the way that she is grieving and the way she is acting, that a drunk person is in the temple. But when Eli approaches her, perhaps to rebuke her, what he discovers is a woman whose heart is broken. A woman who is burdened, who is deeply distressed because the very thing that she desired in life has been denied her. And all the rest of the women around her make fun of her and that type of thing. And so therefore her heart is downcast. And so Eli commends her for her prayers and says essentially, "May the Lord answer your prayer." And of course, you know God's answer. The incredible birth of Samuel to a barren woman. What does that sound like a little bit? Does it sound like a little bit of something similar to the virgin birth of Christ? To the miraculous coming of the Lord to Mary and His coming into the world born of a virgin? My dear friends, yes, I see it right from the beginning. But I want you to know that what is even more incredible to me, just beyond that, is that Hannah rejoices over this child that is born. And she calls him Samuel. And as Samuel is born, the very thing that she wanted most in life to cherish and to nourish, what does Hannah do? Hannah gives that child back to the Lord to serve the Lord all the days of his life in the temple. The very little thing that she wanted most, and God gives it to her. Think about it for just a moment. She is willing as she holds that little one in her arms. Don't you think that maybe that confirmed her faith and her trust in God, that all she needed was God? She's holding a little baby in her arms and she knows what? She knows that that's not that's not of her. That baby is what? Is a gift from God. And I'm sure that as she beholds that little baby and she knows that that baby is a gift from God, I'm sure that Hannah has come to the point, well, if I can trust God to provide this beautiful gift that I did not make, can I trust God with all my other circumstances too? Don't you think Hannah grew in her trust of God as God answered prayers? And I find it just quite a remarkable thing that Hannah was willing to give that baby back and to dedicate that child to the Lord's service. And so where does little Samuel grow up? Well, he grows up in the temple courts from his childhood right on up. And he is serving and ministering to the Lord in the temple courts. And he has some of the major jobs. He goes and gets candles, or he cleans up here, he cleans up there. He opens the door of the house of the Lord each morning. He's just a little guy, but he does those little things, just learning how to serve the Lord, just in the basic things. And my dear friends, there are many people who want to serve God in mighty ways, but I'm convinced that we can't serve God in mighty ways if we can't be faithful in just the little things. Amen? I think what God was teaching Samuel at a very early age is how to serve God in the basic elementary things, in the simple things of the walk of life and giving God honor and glory, opening doors and closing doors at the end of the opening doors, so making sure the candles were snuffed out, making sure the floors were clean, basic things of the needs of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was brought up in that, serving the Lord under Eli. And so that's the first great thing that I'd like to point to you with regard to Samuel's life, is the nature of his birth and his beginning. My dear friends, when we have our children, our grandchildren, if you will, we ought not to underestimate them early on. We ought not to neglect them early on. They say that it is usually between the ages of 1 and 5 that pretty much a child's foundation of personality and response to life is established. And pretty much between 1 and 5, where are they going to get that from? They're probably going to get it from home as the central focus of the foundation of their personality in life and how they will respond in life. I've gained from this that it is not too young for us to commit our children to the Lord. And that's why we, in the life of the church, commend our young families to commit their child in baptism early on. Our Lord was presented to what? The 8th day, at birth. And it's never too early. I think about Jeremiah. Well, is it Jeremiah? I think, yes. And the Lord said of Jeremiah before he was called, I knew you in your mother's womb and called you. Can you imagine? I knew you in your mother's womb and I called you there to be my own. And so, my dear friends, never too early, is it? And some say, well, let's just wait. Let's just wait. Let's just wait maybe to 11 or 12 and then let's let them make up their own mind. And I say to you, if you wait to 11 and 12, you've probably waited what? Probably too long. Raise your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Help them to know the things of the Lord early on. There have been many churches that I've been in that have had children's church. And I suppose that's okay in many respects. If there's no command, I think, in Scripture where that's not allowed. But you know what I have always thought? I have always thought that our children should learn how to be in worship with God's people together with them. Don't you think? And I reflect on that, and I don't say that by way of command, but I just say that by way of reflection upon the importance of worship, of our children growing up in the Lord, learning what worship is about, and not just something to tolerate and to sit through squirmingly or uncomfortably or can't wait till it's over. But seeing us as we worship, looking at our lives, because you know your children are looking at your life. They're looking to see whether you know how to worship, your grandchildren. And, you know, you can ask the question, does your children or your grandchildren see in you the elements and the things of Christ that are important? Because they learn from that. And listen, little Lily, when she comes, listen, I tell you what, she puts us under the grill. She wants to know what this is about. And she wants, yes, Jesus is in my heart. And yes, I enjoy church and I enjoy my Sunday school. And you know, one of the best things in Lily's life is she that enjoys God's people. Isn't that amazing? I thought a little one. So you pray for the little ones, that God would be with them and that they would learn the things of the Lord right early. So I see this in Samuel as the Lord raises him. And, of course, when you come to chapter 3, this is the second thing that I see in Samuel's life of the things of the Lord. I can't help but believe that the Bible doesn't say exactly what age that he is, but he's a young boy. And I would suspect 11, 12, 13, perhaps in that range. He's ministering to, I love the description. Now, the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. I just like that description. That's what he was doing. That's what he was learning. Never underestimate our children in the church. This is the next thing. Never underestimate when God can work in the life of a child. When can God work in the life of a child? That child says, anytime he wants to. That's exactly right. And I love it. Anytime he wants to. And we even see, again, within Jeremiah's life, even in the womb. Even in the womb. And sometimes we in our concrete thinking, subject, object, well, God works in a life maybe later on. You know, they're so young, they can't understand a lot of these things. They're so young and so tender that certainly God can't work in a five-year-old. Certainly cannot. Well, I tell you that I have seen it in many instances where they may not have known all the details of the theological expressions of what it meant to know the Lord, but I can tell you one thing. Some of those little children express faith sometimes in a way that marvels me. Suffer the little children to come unto me and prevent them not. Remember what else he said? For such is the kingdom of God. That's just something about it, my friends. I'm just saying. There's something about it. Never underestimate God when He will work in the life of a child. That's why in the life of our church, I pray for our children from birth. Margaret, those two children from birth. And it's been a joy. Ernie, been a blessing. To watch them grow, pray for them from early times on. Let's don't begin sometime down the road, but now. Because God can work in the life of this child. And think about perhaps some of the spiritual ways in which God works, mysterious ways. He has the life of this boy, and this boy is ministering to the Lord in the temple before Eli. And word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. It kind of tells you about the dryness of times, that there are spells of spiritual dryness. That there is spiritual dryness. Lack of vision and revival and vitality. And this was such a day in which Samuel was being raised. And so, again, I won't go through the whole picture again, but the incredible picture is that Samuel has finished his chores for the night. And he's closed the doors to the house of the Lord, and he's gone to lie down after his chores are complete. And apparently, the Lord speaks to him, and I like the way it's expressed here in verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He served the Lord, but he did so before Eli. He had not come to that understanding where the Lord had revealed himself. And I think that's the heart of it. The Lord, it's not that Samuel didn't belong to the Lord and Samuel wasn't serving the Lord. It's just that the Lord had not revealed himself personally to Samuel yet. And I just love to reflect on that little verse right there in verse 7. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. Isn't that a beautiful description of growing in grace and the grace of God and the mercy of God upon a life? Of how the Lord revealed himself to this little boy. It's amazing to read. And so, little Samuel, how does it happen? He goes and lies down. And he is quiet, and then the Lord calls him. Samuel, Samuel. And I love the picture. Little Samuel wakes up, and he jumps up, and he runs to Eli's room, and he says, "Here I am, did you call me?" Ta-da! And Eli must have... I was just about to go to sleep. I was dozing off. Would you... I didn't call you. Go and get back in bed. It just must have been a very interesting thing. How many times does this happen? Three times. And I hate to say sometimes we as adults may be a little dense, but Eli finally gets the message, doesn't he? Eli says, "Oh, oh, wait a minute. It is not to me that this child is speaking, but what? It is to this child that the Lord is speaking to." And I love Eli, even with all his faults and all of the judgment that came against his house. You still see that hard in Eli, don't you? You see it, don't you? Eli says, "Child, listen, I didn't call you, but listen. When you go back to your bed this next time, if he calls you, just say, 'Here I am, Lord. I'm here at your bidding. I'm here for you. Speak, for thy servant is listening.'" And so it's very interesting that this very thing, that who does the Lord God choose to call? A child. A small child. To speak to. And to reveal himself to. How did you come to know the Lord? When did you come to know the Lord? Was it not in the gospel when you came to an understanding? Was it not God's choice, the Lord's choice, when he revealed himself to you personally in salvation? Do you remember that time when it was a service that was different, in which the gospel was preached, and more importantly, it was the very time in which the Holy Spirit moved upon your life and convicted you of your sin, and convicted you of your need for Christ, and revealed Christ to you? I love that in Philippians, and the Holy Spirit opened the mind of Lydia to understand the gospel. He opened Lydia's mind to understand the gospel. How marvelous to see that when we came to Christ, it was at such a time as the Lord's choosing, when he chose, "Today is today in which this child is claimed as my own." And we are open to understand things of the Lord. What a marvelous picture you see in Samuel's life. And not only that, at such a young and tender age does the Lord work in Samuel's life and reveal himself. But think about this. This time he stays in his bed and the Lord God calls to Samuel. And do you remember the next thing that happens? Think about the calling of a servant of the Lord. Not only is a servant of the Lord called, and oftentimes they are called at the Lord's bidding, at very young ages, at his appointment and his choosing, he prepares them. But also, what is one of the first things that the Lord God reveals to Samuel? And it's not easy. The Lord reveals to Samuel the judgment that's going to come against Eli's house for his sins with regard to his sons, not rebuking his sons. And apparently the Lord is very specific about that judgment. And what is Samuel's first initial reaction? Well, he was afraid to tell Eli. Now think about this first choice or this first task that was given to Samuel before the Lord. Was it easy? No, because this was a little boy. And there was my mentor. That's Eli. He's the priest. And the message is going to be from this little boy. Listen, are oftentimes children listened to? No, oftentimes it's children. Why don't you say it loud? I love that. Sometimes children are to be seen and what? Not heard. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's good. But I tell you, we need to be careful about that across the board, don't we? We need to be careful about how we approach things spiritually. The first awesome task that was given to this child was to speak the word of the Lord to Eli's house. And I thank the Lord for Eli. Eli comes and says, well, what did the Lord say to you? And I think Eli kind of knows in his heart, doesn't he? Doesn't Eli kind of already know in his heart, don't you think? I can almost sense that. Well, what did the Lord say to you? And he goes on, why? And most emphatically, he says, listen, don't leave out one word. You tell me everything, good, bad, ugly. You tell me the whole thing, and don't you leave anything out, or may the same thing happen to you. And so little Samuel does what? He presents the word of God. Little Samuel presents the word of God to this high priest Eli of God's judgment against his house. But now think for just a moment. What was Eli's response? Well, okay, let it be done as the Lord sees fit. Isn't it amazing that as we go through life, that sometimes it's not always cut and dry and easy, is it? Well, let it be done as the Lord sees fit. And I think Eli realizes that God is working in the life of this little one, Samuel, and certainly Samuel grows up to serve the Lord all of his days. And just the last little thing I would like to present in Samuel's life is over in chapter 8. At this point in time in Samuel's life, he is getting older. And he has been a part of Israel and assisted Israel in leading them and being an effective leader. But now Samuel is getting older, and just as Eli's sons were not devoted to the Lord as they ought to have been, so it's the same with Samuel's sons. They have not become the leaders spiritually that they needed to have become under the guidance of their father. And Samuel is getting older. And so the elders and the rulers of Israel come to Samuel and listen to what they ask in chapter 8, verse 1. And it came about when Samuel was old that he appointed his sons judges over Israel. Now think about it. They were not good leaders. They were not spiritually astute or prepared. But what did Samuel do? He appointed them as judges over Israel. Sounds like some days we know of, don't we? Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abijah, they were judging in Beersheba. His sons, notice verse 3, his sons, however, did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after dishonest gain and took bribes and perverted justice. Does it sound like some days we are familiar with? That's what I'm saying. Listen to it carefully. What happens next? Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. And they said to him, behold, you have grown old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king for us to judge us like the nations. Give us a king like the nations. But the thing was displeasing in the sight of Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. What did Samuel do? I like that element in character in Samuel's life. Samuel prayed to the Lord immediately. Crisis, problem, leadership, overall corruption. Samuel prayed to the Lord. Now, think about even as he prayed, there was some selfishness in Samuel's life. And the Lord said to Samuel, listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. There is not a sense in which God approves of this, but He what? Allows this request. Do you hear it in that verse 7? He says to Samuel, listen to them. Is there a time in some instances where God gives us over to the desires of our heart? Sometimes we think the grass is greener on the other side and we desire it. Sometimes the way God works is that He allows you to have it. And that's exactly what God is doing in this situation. Not that He approves, but that He allows. Sometimes God gives us what we ask for. It perhaps may be a time in which God has given us what we've asked for all along. So, it goes on, verse 8, like all the deeds which they have done since the day that I brought them up from Egypt, even to this day, in that they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing also to you also. Now then listen to their voice, however, you shall solemnly warn them and tell them of the procedure of the king who will reign over them. And so, my dear friends, God proceeds with that request of theirs. But He gives them a warning, and that warning is about the king that will rule over them. And sometimes we think it, and what has happened is not that having a king is incongruent with the will of God. In this instance, there can be King Jesus over us, and there can be appropriately a president or a ruler or a king or whatever over us, as designed by God to govern. It's not incongruent. It's not wrong to have a king. It's wrong to have a king that's interested only in himself or herself or whatever. And so in this instance, what has happened that these people from Israel, the Lord gives a description of their life. Not that they appropriately want a king, but what? They want a king in place of God. And service to the Lord. And what does the Lord God say? Well, it's happened from the beginning. Moses went up on the mount. No sooner he got up on the mount, but they built a golden calf and started worshiping it rather than the living God. He said that just seems to be the way that they go. And so Samuel spoke all the words of the Lord to the people who asked them for a king. And listen to this description of what a king is going to do for them. And he said, this will be the procedure of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and place them before himself in his chariots and among his horsemen, and they shall run before his chariots. Where are their sons going to be placed? In front of the king's chariots. Who's going to go first? Them. Before the king. Verse 12, and he will appoint for himself commanders for thousands and fifties and some to do his plowing and to reap his harvest and to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. Essentially, they are going to be made servants, aren't they? Of whom? They're going to be servants of the king. Verse 13, he will also take your daughters for perfumers and cooks and bakers. Well, who's going to maintain his house? You are. And he will take the best of your fields and your vineyards and your olive groves and give them to his servants. And he will take a tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to your officers and to his servants. He will also take your male servants and your female servants and for the best young men and your donkeys and use them for His work. He will take a tenth of His flock. Does it sound like taxes? Listen, I know the way to solve all these problems. Let's just tax the people more so that we can have these wonderful programs. I assure you it's not going to be them that's going to bear the burden. And that's what the Lord God tells them. This is what a king will do for you who seeks his own rather than after God. He will take a tenth of your flocks and yourselves and will become his servants. Then you will cry out. Now listen to this. Then you will cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer you in that day. May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. The days in which Samuel lived are not so unfamiliar to us. I see where so much focus is put on the things of the world and political prowess today. And I must tell you, it falls short in my heart spiritually. It is incumbent upon us as children of the Lord to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That is the call for us in this day and time, is to be whom God has called us to be. That is His children. And to first and foremost call upon Him. And to put things in perspective with regard to our rulers. We ought to do all that God gives us to do to live uprightly, to do what is right as a citizen, to vote appropriately as the Lord leads us. And we ought to do those things in these days with the utmost righteousness and respect. Because I tell you, and let me put it in just a nutshell. Listen, I know that people today are concerned morally about where we're headed. I am too. In many ways, we're already there. But what I would say to you is to be thankful for what God has given you. There have been many believers who have had to live in difficult times. Amen? Many believers have had to live in very difficult times. If you think that this is ultimately a difficult time, I encourage you to look at Scripture real carefully with regard to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to the life of Daniel. Oh Lord, we will not, oh King, we will not bow down and serve your gods, Baal. Even if you throw us into that fire, we will not serve your gods, nor fall down before them. We'll throw them in. I thought we threw three men in there. But there's four in there. Oh, dear Christian. Yes, you live in a difficult time morally. But don't be ungrateful. Amen? Don't be ungrateful. Turn your heart to the Lord. The Lord that has always been with you will continue to be with you. And He will lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. May the Lord bless you. Samuel's life, from birth to a young boy, to the days of his old age in which he had to deal with a lot of difficult things with regard to a request for king in Israel. My dear friends, the life where God called Samuel to minister, to serve Him. You be faithful in the place where God has called you to serve Him. these days. Amen? Amen. Use all that is within you to honor Him, serve Him. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful to You this day as we come in worship and we remember the life of Samuel. And as he foreshadowed the good grace of the Lord coming and His salvation, Lord, we thank You for all those aspects of Samuel's life that showed forth Your glory and Your honor and Your salvation. And yet, Lord, he lived in time and space, and this man served You from his birth to the day he was called to be with You in his death. And, Lord, not an easy go of it did he have. And, Lord, may not be easy for some of us. We pray that You would lead and guide and direct us. But, Lord, first and foremost, help us to remember You, that You are there and You are not silent, that You are in the life of Your children, that You, Lord, do lead, You do guide us, You direct the affairs of our life. And even You raise kings to the throne and You lay low kings and their dominion. So, Lord, help us to trust You in this day. Trust You in all these things that we face in these days. Lord, may You lead us to do the right things. May You direct our hearts to have right hearts within us and to live righteously and obediently before You in this world, in every respect, even as citizens, we pray in Jesus' name.